Hello. So what is your name?
My name is Kelly Carlisle.
And my name is Kaya Carlisle.
Kaya Carlisle. And how long have you both lived in Oakland?
We don't live in Oakland, but we've worked in Oakland for the last 5 years.
Where do you live?
We live in Berkeley.
Berkeley. What part of Berkeley?
The Oakland-Berkeley border.
Okay, South Berkeley type. And so who are you? How do you see yourselves? Not from Oakland. Who are you? You're Kelly and Kaya.
Yes.
But what else?
Carlisle.
Yes. Do you identify as anything else, or you?
Well, I consider myself a community advocate and a farmer. How do you identify?
A camper and a farmer, I guess.
A farmer? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, farmers, advocates, how did you arrive to be these things? What's part of your journey? Where did you get?
Well, the first part of my journey was discovering that food is grown, and, you know, having a young daughter that already knew that. So when I discovered that food was actually grown, I was amazed and surprised and excited about it. And my daughter, Kaya, here was like, duh, Mom. And so I wanted to learn everything I could about growing food, and Kaya has been helping me throughout that journey.
What was it like to know that food, or to not know that food was grown?
I mean, so, you know, I knew it intellectually. I knew that, you know, fruit is grown. But being so far disconnected from the growing of food was like, the gulf was amazing, you know, which I think makes me uniquely qualified to do the work that I'm doing now, being an urban farmer in East Oakland, because I get it, you know, like food has, for the, you know, 30 something years that I've been around, it's been purchased at the grocery store, and to come back to it and find out that, like, it comes from a seed, and the seed grows into a plant, and the plant produces flowers, and the flowers produce fruit is just, it's magic every single season.
Beautiful. And how do you feel about this? You've known this your whole life because you have a mom sort of teaching you this, but is it sort of baffling and magical every time you see it, or?
It's kind of interesting because I don't come as much as my mom does because I have school. But when I do come, everything's bigger and better, and it is kind of baffling.
Okay. Do you plan to be a farmer?
Yes, but also other things.
So other things. We'll get back to those things. So, tell me a little bit about your journey, though. How old are you?
I'm 11 now.
Okay.
But when we started, I was in kindergarten, and my school in Berkeley, we had gardening, and we learned all about this stuff. And my mom was like, "This is crazy." I'm like, "No, Mom, it's not crazy." And it was interesting seeing how me and my mom changed, and how
has your relationship
been? Our space around us has changed, I guess. Yeah. That's basically my journey.
My journey in a nutshell.
Still journeying. What does gentrification mean to you?
I love that picture of your mother. So
you first.
Okay. Well, once my mom taught me what gentrification was, I felt like I was kind of like, what do you say? Like, I don't even know, but like,
awakened.
Like, I felt like, wow, this really does happen. Like, how did last year this place was filled with liquor stores and now it's filled with big grocery stores.
So what did I tell you about gentrification?
you said that it was where like less
what does Oakland mean
like what's it like less
fortunate
less fortunate neighborhoods. The rich people were buying all of it and putting them out into like being homeless and stuff, and they were getting like big condo apartments and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So gentrification to me, it's interesting for me to try to figure out the difference between gentrification and displacement and how one feeds into the other. It didn't mean a lot to me until my own family was displaced from their housing situation of 18 years. And almost overnight, they were put in a hotel. They were told that the hotel room would be paid for a certain amount of time. That time, you know, passed. And at the end of it, you know, my mother lives with me and my father, you know, is in a different part of the city. Developers that come in and just with no regard to the space that they're taking up and the space that they're quote-unquote improving is infuriating to me. Part of my work is in West Oakland now, and you know, we noticed a phenomenon where people of color will come to the gate of the property where I work and they'll ask questions from the gate, you know. But white folks will just walk onto the property and, hey, what's going on here? Can I have some of this, you know? This is indicative, in my opinion, of a deeper problem that white privilege and just really colonization mindset is so deeply ingrained that, of course, you know, these folks that are walking onto the property don't see it, right?
Right.
But
right.
It's somebody on the other end, you know, where it's like, this is not your property.
Right.
You don't belong here. You have to ask permission, you know?
And these are the same people who will call the cops on you for walking
drumming
past their property.
Right.
Drumming.
Exactly.
I got the cops calling me. My parents have lived up the hill for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've lived there my whole life, 22 years. I was sitting in my car just on the other side of the hill reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
A lady called the cops on me and said I looked suspicious. It's,
wow. It's, yeah.
The
exactly
same thing. Not the same thing, but the ones who will call the cops and tell you this is trespassing, you're going to trespass on your land. And
exactly.
Tell you, let me have some.
Yeah. You know, do you mind if I have some of your peppers? Yeah, actually. And it's such a, for on the other end of it as well, being, you know, a woman of color that is not a landowner, that, you know, really my only property is my vehicle, you know, like it was both empowering and scary to me to say, no, I need you to step off the property, you know?
Right.
Like, that was totally outside my comfort zone because I don't own anything, right?
Exactly.
But this property, I do know, does not belong to you.
Right.
And what's grown on this property, I do know, does not belong to you. It is not your right to come onto this property. As opposed to our farm here, which is on public land, so, you know, outside of having a fence up, I can't really tell people, no, you can't come up here.
Right, because you can.
Right. I'd prefer if you didn't, you know. So, yeah.
Great. So, how has not living but working in Oakland impacted your life?
So many ways. Kaya, you go first.
Well, working in Oakland has changed the way I saw the way I live in Berkeley and the way I, yeah, that's really it, the way I live.
What's different? What, is there like a...
Like, the way people carry themselves and then the way they, The community is really different.
You know what? Let's put it in the oven. That way,
Has living and working in Oakland impacted your life?
I am. You know, when I started our farm, without knowing it, I was in some ways a gentrifier. You know, like while my mindset was on community improvement, and while, you know, on paper, it seemed like what I was doing was improving food access and food justice here in Deep East Oakland, I was really doing what a lot of organizers complain that organizations do, is helicopter in with a ready-made solution without talking to the community, without building with the community, and then saying, well, here's my project, come to it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This has been one of the most humbling, eye-opening experiences in my life, you know. Working here has shown that while there might be differences between how our community works, you know, where we live and where we work, that the similarities are there too, that people love their kids, they care about their safety, they, you know, care about their food, they care about their rights and their access to stuff that, you know, we have readily available to us where we live. So yeah,
it's universal caring.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's universal, but you know, in some ways, we have more agency because we can say we don't want that farmer's market to be taking up all the parking spaces, because then we can't get home and do our homework or whatever it is, right? But here, it's like having to remind people that they do have agency, that you have a voice that needs to be raised, and that through the work of CBE or the work of Hope Collaborative, that this that it can be amplified and that it can make a difference, you know. So that's really where I see our work right now, is being the conduit between, you know, I don't like that we don't have a grocery store, and folks that can actually amplify that.
Right. Great. What do you love most about the community, working here, being here? What's your favorite part?
My favorite part is seeing how everyone like has benefited from what we have done, and how much. Yeah, that's it.
I think my favorite part is getting to know families. You know, getting to know families and knowing the kids and seeing them, you know, after school, and hearing hi, Miss Kelly, you know, as I'm growing or as I'm outside just taking a breather from paperwork, you know. it's really gratifying to know that we've had an impact.
Yeah. And what's the one thing that you could change if you could? I'm sure there's a few, but the number one thing, if you had the power to change it, what would it be?
I would probably change, I would change anything.
Well, we keep staring out like we're, like we're looking at the farm.
I would change the housing.
The housing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Because I see a lot of people walking around at all hours of the night. You know, when I am here, I see them wandering around all the time. Like, I feel bad.
I wish that I could figure out a strategy to let more people know about what we're doing, and the benefit of what we're doing. So a lot of people know about our farm, they know about our camps, but not all the kids that like live within walking distance come to our camp, and I'm not exactly sure why. I think part of it is because anyway, you're not asking that. I would try to I wish I could change the way that community interacted with food and farming and environmental justice.
I would change the liquor stores into grocery stores so that people have more jobs and could actually pay for what's at a grocery store. And and they wouldn't be eating, they would be eating more like kale chips and not hot chips and kind of stain their fingers hot red
forever. I appreciate that.
This is what I gotta live with.
Could be a lot worse. What do you hope for your future?
I hope that things will get better and that life wouldn't be so fearful of natural things and other things. Like, yeah.
And I have another question. You said that you want to be a farmer, among other things.
I would like to be a pediatrician to help people, but if I were a farmer, too, I would be helping people in so many different ways, helping with their health, starting curing it, and then also preventing it. So, yeah.
I love this kid.
Cool. And do you see yourself, well, for the next 10 to 20 years, you'll probably still be here, but maybe 20 years, do you see yourself being here in college, past college?
Yes, or maybe somewhere else in the country.
Fair enough. Fair enough, but no matter where you are, helping somebody.
Yes.
Nice.
And might be here or somewhere else.
Yeah. I don't know about here, but I'll be somewhere helping people out.
There you go.
Somewhere. That's what counts. And what do you hope for your future?
I don't know. I guess I hope that I continue to grow and see improvement in myself and the community. You know, I think I truly believe that by improving ourselves, we have no choice but to help our communities. You know, it's like when you know better, you do better, you know.
Yeah. Do you see yourself staying here for another 10 to 20 years and beyond?
I see myself farming for the next 10 to 20 years and beyond. Staying in Oakland is maybe. Or somewhere else in the country.
Or somewhere else in the country. And you guys didn't bring a photograph with you. You brought some ceramic mugs,
yes.
Glasses. Tell me about them.
So we just got done co-hosting the 5th Annual Black Farmers and Urban Gardeners Conference, which is a national conference that we wrote the RFP for. Our organization wrote the RFP for. And they came, and the conference was in October, and it was one of the hardest things ever, but so many people had a wonderful time and made really great connections and are still working, you know, working towards the goals of the Black Farmers and Urban Gardeners, you know, land ownership, a network where we can buy and ask questions of each other, all the way to technology, so... Yeah.
So these came from there.
Yes,
they?
I had these made for that conference. A friend of mine is works in the ceramic department at UC Berkeley, and so he made these for us.
You're beautiful.
Thank you.
And last question. Mm-hmm. What does Oakland mean to you?
It means, like, I don't know, like, it means community, and it means, the opposite.
It's complicated, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's, Oakland means, Kaya said it all. It means community, and it also means complication, you know, like nothing is easy. You know, there's a lot of different personalities here, some of which are amazing and others of which are like baffling, to use your other word. Yeah, so I think we want to stick with community, right? Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.